Okay, let's pray together. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be wise men, women, and children this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some weeks ago now, we thought about influencers. You'll remember, who is influencing you? Are you a YouTube influencer? Influencers are people that we listen to. The things that we watch influence us. The books that we read. And as we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, we have had weeks and weeks to be influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ amidst all those other influences that are around us day by day. Three chapters ago, and many more weeks than that, we discovered him sitting on his mountain throne, speaking his authoritative words to his followers, to people like you and me. And I wonder if you would say over those weeks that he has influenced you. And how would you know if he had influenced you? For example, Jesus has talked in his sermon about what it means to be blessed, to be in right relationship with God. He's talked about to be blessed means to come completely empty to him. You'll remember that we thought a little bit about what it meant to come as poor in spirit. And if we thought we were choosing to come poor in spirit, then we hadn't really worked out what it meant to be poor in spirit. If we know ourselves poor in spirit, there is no other choice but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's taught us how much we receive freely from the hand of our Heavenly Father. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I wonder where you felt most influenced as we've gone through just about every section of this sermon of Jesus. I wonder where you felt most influenced. Was it at that level of conviction? I have fallen short. I really don't hunger and thirst for righteousness like I know I should? Or have you felt most influenced by Jesus because you've heard his words of comfort and his promise and the hope that he brings? His free and generous promises. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that's where you felt his influence. Or I wonder if you've felt his influence most in that aspiration. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus said to us. Well, maybe you recognize some of the ways that Jesus has been influencing us, influencing you over these past weeks. It might be something about yourself, something about the world, something about your attitude to stuff, treasures and all that. Remember that bit in chapter 6? Or about how you view others. Jesus has helped us see that his followers, those who stand blessed by the Father, well, the world has two responses to us. Which was early on in chapter 5. Sometimes the world persecutes the blessed followers of Jesus. And sometimes the world glorifies God because of the good deeds of the followers of Jesus. Remember that in chapter 5, verse 16? Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus has helped us to hone in on our own hearts, hasn't he? Time and again, it's been painful for us at times. He's talked about the kind of heart that fits in his kingdom. Not anger, lust, lies, and revenge, but a heart for reconciliation, faithfulness, truth, and sacrificial generosity. So what influence has Jesus been having in helping you understand yourself? Crying for forgiveness, he will have left some of us. Rejoicing in his forgiveness, the next step. Knowing he is transforming us from the inside in his kingdom. What influence has Jesus been having on your views of others? He's helped us with the world generally, and he's helped us with our own hearts, but more particularly, how do we see ourselves in front of others? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. How is he influencing us in how we see ourselves in front of others? Did Jesus get under your skin at all with all this? Your Father will reward you for what nobody sees. Much rather people see it. But we're rewarded when nobody sees our giving, praying, and fasting. That secret godly life helps us not to judge others, doesn't it? As Jesus taught later on. Because the person we're looking at, their very best, might be completely hidden from us. The Father sees the heart, and we don't. What influence has Jesus been having on how you view your stuff? The things that you can touch and play with and hold. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In heaven or on earth? Are we worrying? Or are we knowing that those who seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to us as well. What influence has Jesus had on what you seek? Treasures on earth, in heaven, stuff, his kingdom. Well, it's difficult, as we've said the whole time we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, haven't we? As Jesus has influenced us, we've recognized our need for forgiveness. That our hearts are not fit in themselves for his kingdom. I haven't obeyed the word of this king spoken from his mountain throne. And I can't help myself. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's influenced us by giving us comfort in the face of that in the face of our own hearts. And we've been so thankful to hear the king make his promises. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But we've also learned, haven't we, in the light of that conviction and of that comfort, that there is a job to do. We found ourselves aspiring to be more fit for the king. We want to be transformed. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll be shown mercy. They will see God. And it's all of these things all of the time. Knowing our guilt and shortcomings, knowing full forgiveness and new life and hope, and seeking to become more like the Lord Jesus at every step. This is the small gate and the narrow way, but it leads to life, declares the King. One thing that Jesus has clearly set before us is that it is one way or the other. It's either the way of surpassing righteousness, something fit for God's kingdom. Christ clothes us in his righteousness, he transforms us into his righteousness, and he completes us in his righteousness in the end. It's either that way of surpassing righteousness, which is entirely suitable for God's eternal kingdom, or it's the way of nothing more than a reward that you can have fully now, or a life of worry, or a life of hypocrisy, or a sort of ongoing dissatisfaction with other people, or a life only lived in front of other people. What Jesus calls a fruitless life. Well, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So no wonder we ask, seek, and knock. Because we're promised that we will receive, find, and the door will be opened. Small and narrow it might be, but God is generous and it leads to life. I wonder if everything that Jesus has put before us has influenced us to do the simplest thing. It's right at the heart of his sermon, to pray. I know I'm not who I should be, Father. Make me into who I should be. Help me to be who I should be. I doubt any of us have escaped the insight of the King from his mountain throne. Whether it's to do with how we relate to God himself being blessed, how we relate to the world in its persecution, or how it might glorify God even through us. Whether it's about how we've come to know ourselves better because Jesus has dug right into our hearts, or how we think about others or our attitude to stuff, would you say he has influenced you? And how would you know? Well, Jesus helps us with that in the closing verses of his sermon. Verse 21 of chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus says it's not just what you say, it's what you do. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not just what you say, it's what you do, Jesus teaches us. See, all these words about Jesus are on our lips. We've been talking about them. We've been sharing them with one another. We've been talking at length about them at staff meeting. All these words are on our lips. All Jesus' words are on our lips. Words like, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We say things like this. We say, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't judge, or you too will be judged. Not everyone who says these words, who says, "Lord, Lord," but only the one who does the will of my Father. How do we know we've been influenced by Jesus, or we are being influenced by Jesus? Because we'll keep doing things differently from how we used to. Jesus has made this crystal clear. Chapter 5, verse 16, already read it. "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Verse 19. "Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." There are some specifics, of course, through chapter 5 about what to do with anger and lust. But it's things to do. You leave your gift and you go and be reconciled. Chapter 6, verse 4. "Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." The Lord's Prayer is a statement of the Father's will. It's what the Father wants. Jesus is teaching us to pray for what God wants, not what we want. And so as we pray for the Father's will, we should be doing that which is the Father's will. 7 verse 12, "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Jesus makes this clear not just in his teaching, but in his living, of course. He seeks reconciliation by laying down his life for us, his enemies. He loves his enemies. He prays in secret to his Father. He doesn't serve two masters. Every Christian believer will find themselves doing things differently from how they used to. Whether that's how you deal with arguments in your home, the very fact that you now ask, seek, and knock in prayer to your Heavenly Father, that you might even on occasion pray for those who persecute you or who annoy you at school, that you might show mercy and forgive in ways that you didn't before. It's not just what we say, it's what we do. Now, Jesus heads off a danger here in verses 22 and 23. There's always a danger when we concentrate on the doing, that doing is all that we become concerned with. These people in these verses were certainly doing things. If I was on the right page. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" They were speaking the Father's will, prophesying. They were doing the Father's will, delivering people from evil, signs of the kingdom. But it was all about doing for them. "Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" They're not doing the will of the Father at all. Jesus says they are evil doers. We must not be doers of what is right, but have nothing to do with Jesus in our hearts. It's sobering to think, isn't it? That someone can be so obviously of the Lord and actually not be and never have been of the Lord. "I never knew you. The doing that Jesus wants grows out of sitting at his feet as he teaches from his throne. It's not just what we say, it's what we do. And what we do must come from who we know and trust and therefore obey. Then we can say that we're influenced by Jesus. Not just what we say, but what we do. And verses 24 to 27 tell us that it's not just what we hear, it's what we do. It may be that Jesus' words, Jesus' teaching, are never on your lips. That you'd never let it be known that you address God as Lord. That's just kind of this secret time on a Sunday where nobody else is watching. But outside, the words of Jesus are never on your lips. You're not like the people of verse 21 who say, Lord, Lord. But you're somebody who hears. You do hear Jesus' teaching. Maybe you like to hear Jesus' teaching. Well, there's no difference between these two builders in the famous parable. There's no difference between their position and between them. In almost every case, it rains on both of them, the floods come up around both of them, the wind blows against both of them. Every good and bad thing in life comes to both of them. And the final reckoning at the end is the same for both of them. The storm reaches its peak. Many here see reference to the final day of judgment, the final reckoning for all of us before the God who made us. It's the same for both houses. It's the same for both builders living in their houses. And Jesus says, if you have heard me, you are like both these builders. If you have heard me, you are like both these builders. Because hearing Jesus is not what distinguishes his people. It's not just what we hear, it's what we do. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And so the outcome in the final reckoning is different. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It fell with a great crash. When the kingdom fully comes, when Jesus comes as king, not sitting on a rock on his mountain throne, but in the glory of his Father to judge the living and the dead, when all evil and all folly is no more, the house of the wise man stands firm. Saying Jesus, hearing Jesus, that's not what distinguishes God's people. It's putting his words into practice. It's doing. Jesus is offering us here the greatest invitation of our lives. He is Emmanuel, earlier in Matthew's Gospel. Emmanuel, God with us, inviting us to know ourselves in our own hearts, to recognize our helplessness, but to understand that he has come from heaven and speaks to us from his throne, speaking with an authority that amazes everybody who heard him, and an authority that surpassed all others who said they spoke for God. Notice that little completion that Matthew puts in. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. God with us, teaching us to know ourselves, speaking with all authority and inviting us to have a house that will never fall even in the final judgment. Built on him, who, knowing our hearts, would still die for our forgiveness. Who, knowing our need, would give us his Spirit to transform us and keep us, knowing that we would falter without him. But to hear his words and put them into practice, Jesus says, here's your invitation to a house that will never fall in this life through the judgment for eternity. People going round saying Jesus or hearing Jesus is not really the influence he wants. It's not only the influence he wants. How do we know we've been influenced by him? Because we find ourselves doing more than the crowd did. You might think I'm a bit harsh on the crowd, but isn't it telling? Jesus has just said, hear these words and put them into practice. And the crowd just celebrate that they've heard them. And it's left hanging. Will they put it into practice? Well, I think as we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, if we are naming Jesus as Lord, I think we all will have decisions to make about what we're going to do differently. None of us has escaped the insight of his teaching in these chapters. We can ask, has Jesus been influencing us? It's a better question now, how will he keep influencing me? Even this week. What will it mean for my praying? What will it mean for the way I think about being righteous in front of others? Or the joy of being righteous in secret because it pleases my Heavenly Father? Perhaps there's some attitude that you have to someone's speck in their eye. And Jesus is saying, change that. Do it differently. Look at the plank in your own. What are you going to do about unforgiveness? Or division? It might be about your life choices. The career. You might have to think hard about what's driving you in your life. And literally change some choices that you're making. Are you seeking stuff or righteousness? Do you need to decide this week that actually, rather than the secret thing, actually, you need to decide to let your light shine because you've been keeping it under a bushel? Will you rejoice in being teased for following Jesus? There'll be all sorts of practical things that are going on in your heart. All those things about truth and faithfulness and reconciliation. And Jesus is saying, look for those opportunities. Hear my words and put them into practice this week. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. What do you need to do for someone else this week? You might have been putting it off. What do you need to give for someone else this week? What do you need to pray for someone else this week? Who do you need to treat differently? And all of this because you know that Jesus is on the throne and you've heard his words. What do you need to turn away from this week? What do you need to turn away from now? How will the promise of a generous Heavenly Father make you generous? How will the promises of a generous Heavenly Father reduce your worry this week and give you energy for the future so that you can, from this day forward, do to others what you would have them do to you? Hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, built his house. It did not fall. It had its foundation on the rock. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we stand humbled that the Almighty God of heaven came and lived amongst us and has spoken with all authority. Father, we bow before his words. And Father, though often we feel guilty, we are guilty. And often we're comforted by your promises. And how we long to be more like the Lord Jesus, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Father, we hear the words of our Lord Jesus and we ask that you would help us to put them into practice. Always coming for forgiveness. Always rejoicing in the new life we have in Christ. And always working with all his energy to be like him in thought, in word, and in deed. And we pray in his name. Amen.